Why won't Jackie Sillie do what so many other gubernatorial candidates have done before her and just take the pledge? There's a story Jackie Sillie likes to tell.
Barbara had lost her husband several years ago, and they had built a house together.
Sillie says the couple raised a family in that house, paid off the mortgage on that house. But Barbara's property taxes are through the roof.
She's losing that home. And what she didn't have to tell me, but was so clearly etched in her face, was that when she loses that home, she will lose the last physical connection to the husband that she lost. That's the prototypical story of the burden of property taxes on our citizens.
One of the first things a governor does after getting sworn in is build a budget. It's the moment where governors lay out policy priorities, really their vision for the state. Lately, governors have had to juggle calls for more government services against trying to find ways to not increase taxes. It's an exercise that people around Concord often call reshuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic. But by being open to a new tax, Sillie is changing the rules of the game. Sillie believes she can create a budget that expands government services over what's available today and enhance the state's attractiveness to businesses. But she doesn't have a specific proposal to do it.
We can do this today if we're willing to take a look at everything and say, what's the solution? Not what fits some political framework or some, you know, ideological framework.
Sillie won't directly, with a yes or a no, answer whether the state needs to increase taxes or fees. Her primary opponent, former state senator Maggie Hassan, is clear on that point.
I think we can fund our priorities within our current overall tax structure.
That's a no to raising any new taxes. Hassan's budget ideas aren't paradigm shifts like Sillie's. Hassan's budget would probably more closely resemble those submitted by Governor Lynch. She does want to roll back cuts made by current lawmakers, including $50 million to the university system and money for mental health services.
What I'm hearing from the healthcare community is that emergency rooms are becoming holding spaces for people who are in urgent need of professional, secure mental health care.
Hassan says there are ways to fund those measures.
Undoing some of the cuts that this Tea Party legislature did, the cigarette tax cut, they laid off auditors in the Department of Revenue, so those revenues have also been down.
But even with an improved economy, it's not clear that would be enough revenue for Hassan to accomplish all of her goals. Steve Norton from the New Hampshire Center for Public Policy Studies says you have to take candidates' statements with a grain of salt right now.
At this point, it's very hard to assess where candidates would actually put their priorities because we are in a political season and they aren't constrained by the public policy constraints that a governing governor actually experiences.
Norton says people who've never been governor really don't know how they'll build a budget. He says only after sleepless nights trying to balance competing interests between child care subsidies, legal services for the poor, and business tax cuts will the person really know their priorities. Of course, by then, so will the voters. For NHPR News, I'm Dan Gorenstein.